Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
CBS, Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Ukraine crisis. Moscow Times. Felix Light of CBS News and Moscow Times no longer in Russia because reporting is variously risky. However, we speak to the facts that we have so far from Ukraine. Power has been cut to Chernobyl power plant, the site of the world's worst nuclear disaster. The UN Atomic Watchdog, IAEA, said there was, quote, no critical impact on safety. Felix, a very good day to you. You are in Great Britain, in Mother Britain. What can we say about this cutting of power to the Chernobyl plant? What is the aim here? What can we reason the Russian forces want to accomplish? Good evening to you.
Good afternoon, John. Yeah, well, I mean, I think a lot of this is sort of swathed rather in the fog of war. It's hard to sort of attribute any sort of concrete intentions to the Russian side or to the Ukrainian side. Obviously, sort of any headlines that involve the Chernobyl power plant sort of ipso facto become very, very, very sort of alarming. You know, it's sort of a bit of a red letter for everyone. As I understand, the guidance put out by the International Atomic Energy Agency says that there is no immediate sort of worry there. That being said, what we've seen sort of in the last few days is a fairly concerted Russian attempt to seize Ukraine's sort of nuclear power facilities. A few days ago, we saw them coming at the Zaporizhia plant, which is much further south, quite near Crimea in the south of Ukraine. And there was worries at the time that Russian forces sort of during the battle there were actually shelling parts of the power plant. So, you know, some extraordinarily sort of lackadaisical and sort of careless treatment of a fairly terrifying piece of technology there. So it's hard to say what exactly is happening, but I think certainly, you know, it brings to mind that what we've now got is the first major European war of the 21st century playing out in a country with substantial nuclear capacity.
Reporting from Moscow, there is a initiative, apparently by the Duma, apparently by the Russian government, to confiscate businesses that have shut or are shutting that are owned 25% or more by so-called Western hostile powers. This is fresh to me. It's just early reporting. However, the Russian economy now comes into question. What is your sense of the economy and how it's functioning, given that the ruble is now worthless, the Russian central bank is without access to much of its foreign reserves. So how are people conducting their lives? Are they using rubles to buy food?
Well, certainly, you know, the ruble has fallen a lot, but it's not fallen as much as it probably will because the central bank has been very active in propping it up and essentially forbidding a wide range of sort of foreign currency transactions that effectively forces a lot of people to buy rubles. In general, though, I think what we're seeing is sort of, you know, the Russian economy sort of playing out by the script, really. You know, there's clearly a lot of distress from sort of people on the ground in Moscow. You know, there are things like in the supermarkets, you'll see sort of restrictions on buying more than a certain amount of given food staples. So there are certainly the beginning of sort of serious economic dislocations. What I think is also interesting is a lot of these Western firms, so one of them, for instance, being McDonald's, which have pulled out of Russia, have done so not because of sanctions forbidding them from doing so as such, but because they say there are going to be really serious sort of supply chain issues coming down the line in the future. You know, you're just simply going to be unable to get required commodities, required sort of ingredients, required items for your products. And so it's going to become increasingly difficult to sort of run any sort of major business at scale. And I think that's what you see sort of in Moscow now. You know, obviously I'm not there, but I do keep an ear to the ground, and I sort of have many, many friends and contacts who are still there. And from what I hear, you know, you see sort of a lot of sort of businesses simply shutting down, especially foreign businesses, you know, high value import-based sort of businesses are basically wrapping up there. You know, I think what we're looking at is a very serious sort of reduction in Russian GDP in this quarter. You know, I've seen sort of figures like 20% sort of bandied around. So a real contraction. Or sort of all augmented by the fact that, of course, this war appears to have been decided on by an extremely tight circle of people. I don't think there's anyone who seriously believes that sort of the economic decision makers, people like the governor of the central bank or the finance minister, were let into the secret that Putin was planning a war. And so there were essentially very, very few sort of precautions taken. You know, as you noted yourself, that something like between about 40% and half of the Russian state reserves were stored in countries that have since sanctioned the Russian central bank. So Russia cannot access its reserves that it had in euros, the reserves it had in dollars, they didn't have many, the reserves it had in pounds, or the reserves that it had in Japanese yen. And so what you've seen is essentially the money available to the central bank to prop up the ruble basically halved overnight. And that's really got to hurt, I think.
I've seen a photograph from Irkutsk of empty shelves in a store. Is that happening in Moscow, to your knowledge?
I think possibly to a lesser extent in Moscow, just because it's sort of very much the economic hub and center of the country. So there's less of that going on there. But I think certainly, you know, as I said, supply chain issues are going to be serious. It comes down to sort of things like just key elements of the global economy, like the shipping firm Maersk, right? It's I believe a Danish firm, has said it won't be unloading any more cargoes to Russia. That's a huge problem. You know, that means that sort of enormous amounts of sort of Russian foreign agricultural products just cannot make it to Russian stores anymore. So you will see sort of a real sort of collapse in, I think, the sort of consumer potential of sort of Russian business and Russian economy.
The descent. We have video from random places across Russia of protesters chanting no war and the authorities arresting, carrying people away. What do we know about the descent in Moscow, especially the university, the younger generation?
Yeah, certainly. So I think, you know, opposition to the war broadly aligns with sort of opposition to Putin more generally. You know, people who are sort of opposed to the war are likely to be the sort of young, educated, vaguely kind of liberal-leaning people who are against Putin sort of from the first. What we've seen so far is sort of the cities that have a lot of those sorts of people, so the Moscows, the St. Petersburgs, but also the sort of the Yekaterinburgs and the Novosibirsks of the world are registering quite large sort of protests against the war. You know, young people, students, younger professional people sort of coming out, being arrested, being treated quite brutally by the police, as is their sort of custom. And what we've seen is really sort of a lot of that. You know, we've seen today that that St. Petersburg State University is actually planning to expel students who've been arrested at protests. And of course, protesting is, I believe, covered by this law against the sort of the protesting, the spreading of so-called fake news about the war. So we could see some really brutal jail terms being mooted out to those who do protests.
Burdened with history, we are, Felix. It was Lenin's older brother who was punished and executed by the Tsar for protesting out of university.
Indeed.
Yes, we have a cycle that started all over again. Finally, a note in Moscow Times that the Arctic cooperation. The Arctic nations have been working together and Russia has a very large presence, is now ending. Is that correct? It's over with. People have withdrawn from Russian cooperation.
Indeed, yeah. You know, there was an organization sort of dedicated to sort of, you know, cooperation in the Baltic Sea that Russia has sort of been booted from. Much the same as sort of cooperation in spheres like space have been brought to an end. You know, Roscosmos is not welcome to sort of to combine with sort of NASA anymore. Generally, I think what it means is just this general kind of ostracism of Russia, ostracization of Russia from various sort of international organizations, forums, and really just from sort of the polite society of the world, you know. And I do think the Russians kind of underestimated how broad-based this reaction would be, you know. I don't think they expected countries like Japan, Singapore, and South Korea to get on board. Let's leave it at that.
the exodus from Russia, not only of foreign nationals, but of Russian nationals. You traveled out of Russia yourself. Is that ongoing? We have about 30 seconds. Are Russians getting out if they can?
Oh, certainly. You know, I know a number of Russians who have sort of got flights booked for the near or not too distant future, who are heading to countries like sort of Georgia, Armenia, Turkey, you know, these places where their borders are sort of still open and where they're still sort of welcome. Because right now, of course, European airspace is closed to Russians, right, and it's very, very hard to get anywhere west.
Felix Leit, CBS News and the Moscow Times, reporting on what we know about the deterioration of civil society and all security in Russia as well as in Ukraine. I'm John Batch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.